The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. I hope that you have been bracing and preparing for the major changes that are coming in 2026. That's what God said is going to happen in the church, that there will be major changes, some of which may even seem a bit intimidating, but we have to embrace the changes. And if the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart to make changes, make adjustments, we need to do it in this season. It is those who will act according to the leading of the Holy Spirit that will be used mightily in this move of God. Talking and preaching is not enough. We have to act. We have to walk our faith and obedience to Christ Jesus. And we need to do it in holy reverence to God, but also with all of our energy and all of our effort. The passage I'm going to be starting with today, it comes from 2 Kings chapter 13, starting with verse 14. It says, "Now when Elijah had fallen sick with illness of which he was going to die, Joash, king of Israel, went down to him and wept before him, crying, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.'" Now, I want to pause here and notice, this is a head of state going to the prophet and he's weeping before him because he knows he's going to die. And what does he say? The chariots of Israel and its horsemen. What the king of Israel is proclaiming is Elijah is such a great asset to the nation of Israel that his death would be such a blow to the nation. And think about what it was like in the times of Israel when Elijah was around. We know that when the king of Aram decided that he was going to try attacking Israel at some place, Elijah would see in a vision and hear what he was planning, and he would warn the king. Imagine what it must have been like for the enemies of Israel at that time. I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to ambush the king of Israel here. And then suddenly this prophet, Elijah, is warning him about it, right? And so the king of Aram, of the Arameans, try to capture or kill Elijah. He sends an army to Elijah, and what happens? Well, Elijah says, well, you know, those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. And he prays to the Lord to blind the armies of Aram. And all of them get blinded. And then Elijah says, oh, who are you looking for? You're looking for Elijah? Here, I'll lead you. And he leads them inside Samaria. And then he prays, God, open their eyes. And suddenly they find out they are now surrounded by the armies of Israel. Right? So foreign enemies of Israel knew what a threat and what an asset Elijah was. Later on, when there was a great famine in Samaria because there was a siege surrounding it. So again, the king of Aram besieged Samaria, was cutting off the supplies, cutting off the resources. And the famine was so severe that some of the Israelites were resorting to cannibalism because there was nothing to eat. They were eating their own children. So it was a very severe famine, and here Elijah shows up and he says, "Hear the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, a sea of finest flour will sell for a shekel and two seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Now, think of what this would be like in modern times. Imagine that a nation is in a horrible economic crisis where they can't afford food, they can't afford lodging, any of these things, and somebody shows up, "By this time tomorrow, all these prices are going to come down. You're going to be able to buy this for a dollar," all these things. Nobody would believe it. But the word of the Lord came true according to what Elijah spoke. So here we see Elijah being a military asset. We see Elijah being an economic asset. And there's so many things that the Lord did through Elijah. So much so that the king, when Elijah was dying, said, "Losing you is like losing chariots and horsemen and all of these things." Now, what I want to ask you before I continue is that why are Christians not influential and powerful like this in this day? It should be the case that Christians in this day should be like Elisha or Daniel or Joseph, that even heads of state recognize that if we were to lose you, it would be such a huge blow to our nation because the Spirit of the living God is upon you and within you. So we need people, we need Christians that walk like Elijah and Daniel and Joseph and David walking in the earth this day, that leaders look to them for counsel because they know that the wisdom of God is with them. When there's great times of distress, they go to them because they know that they operate in the miraculous. And imagine if just here in America, one or two or even five or a dozen people were walking a walk where they had an anointing upon them like that of Elijah. This nation would be completely transformed. But I want you to notice, Elijah was not a preacher. He didn't go around preaching, but he did walk in faith and obedience to the Lord Almighty. And this is what God is calling. People that walk with him and implement his ways of doing things in every sector of society. That we as Christians will be able to counsel when it comes to economic matters, when it comes to the housing economy, when it comes to the healthcare industry, technology, science, education. We should be able to operate in those industries and counsel people and point the way to this is the way in which God wants us to govern these industries. Now, isn't that amazing? It's a real big shift in mindset that God is trying to point Christians towards, where we are not so focused on preaching and we become more focused on walking and implementing in the world and establishing the kingdom of God in the world. Now back to 2 Kings chapter 13. So this king, the Joash, king of Israel, he weeps before Elijah and he says, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And then Elijah said to him, take a bow and arrows. So the king took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow, and he drew it. And Elijah laid his hands on the king's hands, and he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. And notice this, the prophet is ordering the king around, right? Because when the word of God is coming through the mouth of a prophet, he is a representative of God. And thus he has authority, just like with Jeremiah, I now send you as a prophet to the nations over kings and kingdoms, right? And Jeremiah was just a boy when he was called. So God, here's God appointing a boy over kings and kingdoms. All right, so he says, draw your bow, open the eastward window. And then Elijah said, shoot. And the king of Israel shot. And then Elijah said this, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria, for you shall fight the Assyrians in Aphek until you have made an end of them. Now notice how simple this instruction is. Get your bow, draw it, open the window, shoot it eastward. The Lord's arrow of victory is going eastward and you're going to have victory over Syria. Imagine that, you just shot a bow and now your nation is going to have victory over this foreign nation that is making themselves an enemy to you. Such a simple instruction, all right? But see, the king now should have gotten a clue. Oh, wow, there is something supernatural happening here. I should be paying attention, right? Now, Elijah then said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck the ground three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you have made an end of it. But now you will strike down Syria only three times. And so when you look at this kind of scenario, you imagine maybe the king, maybe he felt kind of embarrassed. Maybe he felt kind of weird. Oh, it's like, why am I shooting this arrow? Why am I smacking the arrow against the ground, right? It's like, I don't get it, but I'm going to do it, right? So it's like, okay, one, two, three. There, I did it, Elijah. But the king should have paid attention to what was going on. He shot an arrow and suddenly God said, you're going to have victory over Syria. And so the king should have gotten excited and realized that there's something happening in the spiritual realm right now, so that when Elijah instructed him to strike the ground with the arrows, the king would have done it with 100% of his effort, with full excitement, knowing, oh man, if God, you know, when I shot the arrow, we're going to have victory over Syria. I should keep smacking and smacking and smacking and smacking this as much as I can, as many times as I can. Right? But sometimes when God instructs us to do a thing, we rationalize it. Doesn't make sense. I'll do it, God. I'll do it. And we kind of do it half-heartedly, kind of do it part of the way. And you know that that kind of half-hearted, partial obedience, the manner in which we obey, sometimes that is the difference between a temporary victory and a permanent victory. And that's what happened here in 2 Kings chapter 13. Elijah said, if you had struck the ground 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck down Syria until you have made an end of it. But now you will only strike it down 3 times. So for the nation of Israel, the manner in which the king obeyed was the difference between a temporary and a permanent victory. And in this day, that is going to be a difference between those who obey the Lord partially or half-heartedly or maybe obligation, between those who obey the Lord with all of their might, all of their energy, all of their effort, and do it completely. The gap between those two groups of people is going to be so large in 2026. So I want to encourage all of you, if the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart, and God has been trying to get your attention, trying to tell you to make this change, make this correction, do this thing, even if you don't understand it, put all of your effort and energy into obeying God completely. And if you do that, you will be among those that are propelled forward in 2026. When I talk about being propelled forward, I'm not just talking about, oh, you're going to get rich and you're going to get this and that. I've been speaking on this, and Pastor Chris has been speaking on this for years now, which is God wants to raise up Christians into positions of leadership and influence in every sector of society. That just like the king was weeping over Elijah because they're losing their greatest asset. Or think about Daniel, where many kings came to him for counsel and many of them acknowledged God because of Daniel, including the king of Babylon, by the way. And Daniel was a governor in Babylon, so he would have been in the political arena in this day and age, right? He was not a preacher. So we have to implement God's ways of doing things in every sector of society, not just keep preaching at each other. So God wants to elevate Christians that will obey him completely because it means that they can be trusted with stewardship of the nations. But we have to begin obeying God with all of our effort, that God is the number one priority, and he'll take care of those things that which concern you. He'll take care of your needs and your wants because God knows you want those things. And he knows that you need those things. That's what Jesus said. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, right? Because look at the lilies of the field. God clothes them. God feeds the birds and all of these things. So much more for you. But instead, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you as well. Understand, the criteria is that the kingdom of God is first. Not, you know, oh, when I can make time for it. Oh, I'll kind of pencil it in or squeeze it into my schedule. No, God's priorities are first and foremost above everything else. And then God will take care of those other things for you, right? And a lot of Christians get frustrated because they make sacrifices. They put time and effort, but the kingdom of God is still not first in their life. And then they feel frustrated that, God, why aren't you moving here? Why aren't you doing this? But God was never placed first in their life. Whether it was their family, whether it was money, whether it was their own desires, it's penciling God in when you can fit him rather than rearranging your life so that God is at the center and is the priority. This is just like it was like for Abraham. He had to rearrange his life. God said, Leave everything. Leave your father's household, your family, and go to a place that I will show you. So Abraham uprooted his entire life to obey God for something that he didn't even know God was giving him, right? He didn't even know that God was going to give him the promised land. He just knew that God said that I'm going to be blessed and that I'm going to be a great nation and that through me, all the nations on earth will be blessed. I don't really understand it, but I believe the Lord. So I'm going to uproot my entire life in obedience to God. Now, something I want you to understand is this, is that in Genesis chapter 4, it tells the story of Cain and Abel. Now, in this story, understand this, that both Cain and Abel made sacrifices to God, right? That means they both gave up that some of their time and effort, some of their resources was sacrificed to God. But God only accepted one of their offerings, and it was that of Abel. Why? Because Abel made his sacrifices with the right heart and with the right mindset. I am going to honor the Lord with the best of my flock. I'm going to give him the firstborn, the first fruits, the best of the best, because this is an honor in reverence to God. And Cain, his sacrifice was, okay, well, I'm just going to give some things, right? Maybe it was an obligation. Maybe he was just going through the motions. But he still made the sacrifice. But God only accepted one of them. And some Christians, they feel like, you feel like that you have given up a lot. You've sacrificed many things. You've given a lot of your time and resources. And yet you're wondering, why hasn't God moved? You feel like your sacrifice isn't being accepted. Firstly, are those the things that God directed you to do? Or are they things that you've done out of obligation? Have you been doing it with all of your heart? That, God, I just love you. I want to honor you. Or is it because you feel like you're expected to do these things? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, sacrifices made with the wrong heart, wrong motivation, or ones that are made out of obligation. In many ways, we are doing these things in vain, and yet we find ourselves frustrated. This is not unlike, for example, the wise and foolish builder. Both of them spent a lot of time building their house, right? Imagine in this day, right? You went out, you bought land, you got permits, you got it built, but because you were the foolish builder and you didn't build it on the rock, what happens? The storm comes and the house is washed away. Both of them put substantial effort and time into building that house. But the foolish builder, it was wasted effort and wasted time because the foundation was not on the rock. Those things that we build for ourselves that are not on the foundation of Jesus Christ, which means that God directed us to do it. God is in it and throughout. He's involved in the decision-making process. Those things that we do apart from God, we are wasting our time and effort. And then we get frustrated. God, I spent so much money and so many years of my life working on this thing. Ask the Lord in that moment and ask yourself in this moment, was I actually building upon the rock or was I building upon the sand? You see, brothers and sisters, how so much effort and time in the body of Christ with so many Christians has been wasted because we're not actually doing things God's way. We're not actually doing things according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We do our own thing and then we ask God to bless it. And this is what needs to change this year in 2026. I'll close with this thought, which is in Genesis chapter 11. We talked earlier about Abraham, how Abraham was willing to really rearrange his entire life to obey the Lord. But what many people don't know about is Abraham's father, Terah. God intended that Terah would be the one to enter the promised land and become the father of many nations. Because look at what it says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot and Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. See, the implication from this passage shows us Terah intended to go from Ur all the way to Canaan. And we know that Canaan is the promised land. That is the land that God promised to Abraham and his descendants. So God called Terah out from Ur. And it says in Joshua chapter 24 that long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. Right? So we know that in Ur, it was a place of idolatry. It was a place where they were not following God. God called Terah out from that place where they served other gods, and he was leading them to Canaan. And his intention was that Terah would be the one to receive the blessing and become the father of many nations. But Terah did not complete the work. And because of this, Terah is only a footnote in the Bible. He is barely mentioned. Most Christians don't even know Terah's name. They know Abraham. They don't know Terah. And this is the difference between those that obey God completely and those that maybe do it half-heartedly or don't finish the work. For those that do not finish the work or do it half-heartedly, here in the Bible, Terah was just a footnote. He is barely mentioned. And God had to wait for the next generation. He had to wait until Abraham had grown up, and then he called Abraham out of his father's household. This is important too, because Abraham had to separate himself from his father's ways of doing things, his father's riches, because his father's obedience was corrupted. It was incomplete. So his father's ways were not right before God. And Abraham had to separate from his father to complete his obedience to God. Because notice, when Isaac was born, Isaac didn't have to separate from his father's household. Isaac inherited the faith and the covenant that Abraham received through God, right? So Isaac didn't have to separate from Abraham, but Abraham had to separate from Terah. And understand, Terah still uprooted his life, right? He left behind his family, his father's household. He made sacrifices because look, leaving your hometown in those ancient times meant that you're probably never seeing these people again. You're completely rearranging your life. So here, Terah uprooted his entire family. He separated from his father, left his hometown, but he only went part of the way. So his sacrifice and all of that effort, what did it amount to? What was the result? He became a footnote in the Bible. And many Christians, this is what happens. We'll start to obey the Lord, but we don't persevere, or we don't complete the work. We don't trust God completely, and we just settle part of the way. And thus, God is not able to actually manifest the calling that he has on their lives. And then they get frustrated. God, I've made these sacrifices. I've done this. I've done that. But did you complete the work? Did you obey God completely? And did you do it with the right heart? This is what we need to do in this day, guys. We have to obey the Lord fully and with the right heart. And those that choose to do that in this day, the difference between those who obey God fully and with the right heart and those who do not or do it partially is going to be so vast. It'll be like that of Abraham and Terah. One was just a footnote, and the other became the father of many nations, through whom we are all now adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. Abraham himself could never have imagined how big and how wide God's plan was for him. But he believed and had faith in God anyway. So let us do the same. Amen. And for those of you that may be saying, well, Joshua, I don't know what kind of changes I'm supposed to be making. I don't know what I'm supposed to change or adjust. Well, that means that you know the first step. You need to seek the Lord. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So if you feel like, well, I don't know what to do, Joshua, well, there's your first step. Seek the Lord and do it with your whole heart, right? Even if, oh, well, I'm going to go 30 minutes. I didn't hear anything, whatever. No, we have to persevere in our faith. So seek God until you get the answer. And God always answers those who seek him with their entire heart. Amen. So I hope this has encouraged all of you, but also kind of lit a fire under you that 2026 needs to be the year we make the changes God wants us to make and we obey him fully. Amen. So again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.